have been in the story of God for several weeks. Took a little break last week with Jonathan Wilkins being here, and that was just so powerful. The word of the Lord was spoken, and I even went out. He prophesied over Robin and myself before he preached in the first service, and man, I went out and got that recording. Man, I'm gonna write that all down. I'm going to keep that around so that I can refer to that, because it's easy to forget stuff. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and things happen over time and you forget what the word of the Lord is. And man, I want to be accountable to the word of the prophecy. Awesome things spoken over Pastor James and his wife and all of that. So, but several weeks ago, we started this series called The Story of God. And we talked about creation, how that God created us, that he cares for us, that he wants to be in relationship with us. We talked about the fall. Pastor James talked about the fall and sin and how we rebelled against God and how we usually like to do things our own way. Somebody said amen. Amen. But how God is constantly trying to bring us back into relationship with himself. And we talked about the events after the fall and what happened during the flood and of Noah and how God is constantly pursuing us and never giving up on us. And so just for a few moments this morning, I want to talk to us about the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. And to launch into this part of the story, I want to go back to the beginning with Adam and Eve and read a verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1 having to do with the creation. And I've read this a million times, but I read it again last night. I got my wife and I read it to my wife because, man, the words of it, the import of it just jumped out at me when I read this. Look at this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now watch this. Then God blessed them. Isn't that good? In fact, just so you get it, would you read that out loud with me? Just read the whole thing. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Man, I hope you're catching something, grabbing something there, because if you've ever doubted God's intention for your life, his desire for you, what he really wants to do in your life, let it get settled in your spirit this morning that God created you to bless you. Look at somebody right next to you and say, God wants to bless you. That's why you were created. And I want you to notice something. It was before Adam and Eve had proved themselves. It was before they had shown themselves worthy that God revealed his intention to bless them. Wow. Blessing. So I'm going to talk about the blessing and just for a few moments. And you might think that concept, because it was, 6,000 years ago, maybe that's where it relates. It's really Adam and Eve. Maybe they were designed to be blessed. But what about us? But I want to show you how contemporary that blessing really is. I want to go to Galatians 3. We're in the New Testament. Just read a couple of verses before we launch into this here. Galatians 3 and verse 6. Then I get excited about this right here. Abraham. Here we go. Verse 6. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Am I in the right verse? I want to back up to verse 6. Do you got verse 6 in there? There we go. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. How many of you in this place would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I am a person of faith? That's not hard, right? We are people of faith, and the Bible says that if you are of faith, then you are the sons, you are the daughters of Abraham. Now we'll go to verse 8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, everybody say by faith, preached the gospel beforehand, that's preached the good news beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Even the United States of America, even you sitting here right here at LifeSong on July 3rd, 2011, all the nations in the earth will be blessed by what happens in Abraham's life and through them. Now, verse 9, watch this. So then, those who are of faith, you already declared it. You said, I am a person of faith. So then, those who are of faith are blessed. Would you just say it? I am blessed. If you are of faith, you are blessed with Abraham the believer. You're a son of Abraham. You're a daughter of Abraham. You share in Abraham's blessing. But I believe before we can truly understand that, before we can truly embrace that, to pull that blessing into our life, we've got to continue in the story of God. Remember, this is not Adam and Eve's story. This is not Noah's story. This is not Abraham's story. This is the story of God, and these are characters who are a part of the story and what God is doing in their lives. But we're picking it up now. We've talked about Noah, and we're going to move from that time. So is it all right if I tell you a story? All right, so here we go. So Noah's descendants forgot about God and how he spared them in the flood. And they made plans to construct a great tower out of brick. They said, let's build a monument to ourselves that pierces the heavens in order to unify us, or else we'll end up scattered across the world. And God saw that the people were gathering together to unify themselves under their own banner instead of being unified under his. And at that time, everyone on earth spoke the same language. So God gave the people different languages to make it harder for them to join together in rebellion. Then he scattered them all over the earth. A few generations later, God appeared to a man named Abram and said, leave your country and your relatives and go to the land that I will show to you. God then made a promise to Abram saying, I will make you the father of a great nation, famous throughout history. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will bless the entire earth because of your descendants. This was an amazing promise that God was making. He was choosing to bless the entire earth through one man, through one family. There's just one problem. Abram's wife, Sarai, was unable to have children. So how would the earth be blessed through their descendants? And besides, they were getting old. Abram was 75. And Sarai was about 65. Let me just break into the story for a moment. How many of you at 75 and 65 are excited about having some kids? So Abram set out just as God had commanded him, and God eventually led Abram and his family into the land that's called Canaan. And there God told Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction. I am giving this land to you and to your descendants. This land of Canaan would now be called the Promised Land. Some time passed, and Abram and Sarai still did not have a child. And Abram asked God, what good are all of your blessings and everything that you're declaring over my life if I don't even have a son? I'm getting old, and pretty soon I'm just going to have to give my inheritance to one of my servants. And God replied to Abram, no, you will have a son who will inherit everything that I have promised you. And then God took Abram out beneath the night sky, and he said, look up into the heavens and count the stars. Your family will be like this, too many to count. And Abram believed what God said, so God called him righteous because of his faith. And God then made a legally binding contract, a formal covenant with Abram. And in the process, God told Abram that his descendants, they'd be enslaved and they would be oppressed in slavery for 400 years in a foreign land, but they would eventually be brought out with great wealth before returning to the promised land. And God also told Abram that Abram would go to his fathers in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. Now that we've reached this point in the story of God, let me read our key verses one more time so that you can get the context of this. Galatians 3, and again, verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now, I know I've only got a few moments with you today. Time has gotten away a little bit. But before we're through, I want to come back to this and help us to, again, master the fundamentals, to master the basics. Do you understand how easy it is to forget the basic stuff, to forget the foundation of what this thing is really all about? Let me just ask you this. What was one of the first things that you learned when you went to kindergarten? Somebody said the ABCs. Now, is that just about as fundamental as you can get? The ABCs. How many of you think right now in your current state of awareness in this house, you could say the ABCs without a problem? I don't see very many people that are confident this morning. I mean, the ABCs, this is fundamental, this is foundational. And yet, Robin and I, when we're watching Cops, we see people all the time who can't say their ABCs. The officer goes up to the inebriated suspect and he says, "Sir, I want you to say your ABCs. Can you do that?" "Oh, yes, sir, I can, officer." "All right, let me hear your ABCs. A, B, G, D, S, U, V." I mean, you're thinking, this guy learned the ABCs 30-something years ago, but because he's inebriated, he can't remember even the basic stuff. Now, I'm not saying you're out there getting inebriated. But I'm saying that we get distracted by health and by relationships and by money and by jobs and by economy, and we forget the basic stuff. So we're going to take just a few minutes this morning to remember the fundamentals, because from the ABCs you get words. And from words you get sentences, and from sentences you get paragraphs. In other words, from the ABCs things begin to jump together and things begin to make sense. And I want to give us the ABCs this morning because they make life worth living. The ABCs that make sense out of everything. So from the story of God, from what God did in the life of Abraham, can I just give you the ABCs real quick? For those of you that are worried that I'm going A to Z, the next 26 points that I have to make this morning are going to be... No. How many letters do we have in our alphabet? Whew. There for a second I thought we had 24. 20, okay. I'm only going to give you ABC. All right, everybody comfortable with that? All right, so here is the A, and then I'll tell you what it means. All right, here is the A in the ABCs. I am accepted. Would you say that out loud? I am accepted. This blows me away about Abraham. Joshua 24 and verse 2, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they,'" did you see that? Not just Terah, "they worshiped other gods." Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. All of their family were idol worshipers. It is likely that Abraham himself was an idol worshiper. But there came a day when the one true and living God interrupted Abraham's routine and spoke a life-transforming word to him. Let me just ask you this morning, has anybody ever received a life-transforming word from God before? God interrupts Abraham's life and he speaks to him. Genesis 12 and verse 1, the Lord says to Abram, "Go from your country and from your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So you read in Galatians, following up on this, that Abraham believed God, and so God declared him to be righteous, to be right, to be in right standing with him. Now, I want you to notice something. Before Abraham ever took a step toward that promised land, before Abraham ever packed a bag, before Abraham ever called U-Haul and got a 26-foot moving truck with 24 moving pads and 3 dollies, Thursday... By the way, thank you so much for everybody that helped. I told Pastor James, I have learned again the power of a life song small group. I had about 20-something people helping me throughout the day. I could not have done it without you. I love you. Thank you so much. Come over to my house anytime. But before Abraham did anything, the Bible says that God declared him to be righteous. Now, don't misunderstand me. If your faith is genuine, you will have a heart for obeying the word of the Lord. But this is where so many people mess up and they get the cart in front of the horse. They fall into the trap of thinking that because I obey God, God will accept me. But that is not how it is. It's because you believe that God has accepted you. All the other stuff comes later. But we start with faith, and if you will believe, the Bible says that God will accept you. Let me just jump into the New Testament. You might think that's an archaic kind of principle. Let me show you something. The Apostle Peter, he's taking a nap on the rooftop. I love preachers that take naps. Because, hey, hallelujah, that's a Sunday afternoon tradition. Praise God. So he's taking a nap on a rooftop, and he has a vision. And three different times a sheet is let down from heaven filled with things that were previously forbidden for the Jews to eat, filled with things like pork. Oh, you know where I'm going. It was filled with full slabs of famous Dave St. Louis style pork ribs with rich and zesty sauce, covering them with an anointing. By the way, did you know that the word anointing in the Hebrew literally means to smear? Literally. We anoint those ribs. And here he's looking at these ribs and they look so good, but they've been previously declared to be unclean. And so he doesn't get to enjoy them. And the Bible says that a voice comes to him in Acts 10 and verse 13 that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Is somebody about to get excited about a July 4th barbecue around Life Song? Man, I'm starting to feel the energy right now. He says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time and said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." All right, so what does that mean? Is he really talking about famous Dave's pork ribs? What's he talking about? No, he was giving him a natural illustration to represent something bigger, something broader, a revelation that was going to shake Peter's world, and this is how it came down. Okay, so a man shows up at Peter's house right after the vision and says, "Peter, I want you to come over to our house. This is a house full of Gentiles." Peter says, "Whoa, I don't go to Gentiles. That they're unclean." "Wait a minute, I just had a vision." "Okay, I'll go with you to the house. Maybe I'll stand outside. I can't step foot in there." Okay, Peter goes with these guys, even takes some help with him. He took some witnesses because you got to cover yourself, you know. So he takes some witnesses to Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10. And all this house is literally full of people. Cornelius and his family. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. I mean, he had army individuals. He had his staff. He had all these people that worked with him gathered together in this house. And the Bible says that these were people of faith. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. They didn't have a full understanding of who God really was. They didn't have theological insight. All they knew was that there was a God and they wanted to serve him. They wanted to find out more about him. And so Peter walks into this house and he realizes something. All this time, we thought the Gentiles were unclean. We thought that, you know, we couldn't go into their houses because they were dirty people and, you know, ceremonially we had to stay away from them. But now I'm starting to see the light. God is saying to me that a person that has put their faith in me is a person that he has cleansed. Let me just read this to you real quick. Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation," somebody said amen, "he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is," here it is, "accepted with him." Did you see that? Before, watch this, in the story, if you read Acts chapter 10, Cornelius has not been baptized yet. He has not received the infilling of the Spirit yet. That happens later on in the chapter. But God said, "I have called him clean." Are you getting the context of the word clean? Do you know what it means to be cleansed? Anybody ever felt that when you took your sins to the Lord and God says, "I'm going to wipe away every single stain in your life. You're going to be a brand new creature and your sins are going to be washed white as snow." He said cleansed. That's why I say, before you get on all this other stuff and say, "Well, I got to do that and I got to do that in order to be accepted by God," remember that God said of Abraham, he believed God, and therefore God declared him to be right with him. If you're a person of faith, there are more things to learn. There is the word of the Lord to follow. But aren't you thankful that if you believe, you're accepted by him?
If you believe, you are cleansed by Him. You are declared right with Him. I am accepted. Would you say that again? I am accepted. Let me give you the B. Here we go. We're going fast now. The B. Ready? I am blessed. I am blessed. Abraham receives the word of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, and this is what God says: I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Just watch the blessing here. First of all, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Spoken to an old man who thinks he can't even have a child, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Then he says, I'm going to bless you. Not only a great nation, but a great blessing. And then he says, I'm going to make your name great. Do you realize that the name of Abraham is spoken by the three major world religions today? You talk about the Muslim world, you talk about the Jewish world, you talk about the Christian world, and all three of them point their fingers back to Abraham. He has a great name. Isn't that crazy? God spoke the word over him 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, and his name is great in the earth today. And then he says, I love this last part of this verse because it says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Pastor James has said this a number of times. You are blessed to be a blessing. Isn't that something that the blessings of God would come upon your life to such an extent that it would literally fill you and overflow you until it's touching other people? You were blessed to be a blessing. And we could talk about that for a long time. But let me finish with this. This is the third. This is C. You got your ABCs down? I am accepted. I am blessed. And number three, this is C. I am in covenant. I am in covenant. God entered into a covenant with Abraham. We don't have time to read the entire passage right now. I challenge you, maybe sometime during this week, if you've got a moment, open up your Bible to Genesis 15 and just read the reiteration of the covenant. But it is an incredible story. And the Bible says that when God spoke to Abram and said, leave your land, leave your country, and this is what I'm going to do for you. Verse 6 of Genesis 15 says, and he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God says, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham is just like us. Abraham wants to know, how's this going to happen, right? Just because Abraham asked a question doesn't mean that his faith was illegitimate. Sometimes we have questions, right? Anybody here, you consider yourself a believer, but sometimes you have questions, right? That's not a sign that your faith is illegitimate. You're just looking for something. You're just wanting a word from the Lord. And Abraham says, look, I believe. God says, you're righteous. And so Abraham says, okay, you're declaring me to be righteous. That's awesome. Now, how's this all going to happen? Give me some insight here. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go get some animals. You can read the details in Genesis 15. I want you to go get some animals, and I want you to cut those animals into pieces, and I want you to separate them and make a path through them. This is what's interesting. The word, the Hebrew phrase in the Old Testament, to make a covenant, literally the words behind that mean to cut a covenant. And this is what they would do in that culture. If two people came together, two parties came together, and they said, look, we're going to enter into a bilateral covenant. We are going to make this between two parties. You're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. These are the two aspects of this covenant. They would take an animal, just whatever it was, goats, chickens, cows, whatever, and they would cut those animals in half, and they would spread them to the sides. Here's one half. Here's one half. Here's the other half. Here's the other half. And then those two individuals would walk down that pathway between those individuals. And this is literally what they were saying. Let what happened to this animal happen to me if I fail to keep my part of this covenant. If I mess up, if I walk away from the covenant, if I don't fulfill my word, then literally let my body be torn apart like this animal has been torn apart. That's how serious it was to cut a covenant, to make a covenant. But this is what is so interesting about this particular story and this particular covenant, because almost every single covenant in the Bible is a bilateral covenant. If you will do this, then I will do this. Two parties involved. But in this case, the Bible says that the nighttime time came and darkness filled the sky and the sacrifice had been split. He did exactly what God told him to do. But the Bible says, watch this, Genesis 15:17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. You see, in this particular covenant, there weren't two parties involved. God did not ask Abraham to walk down that pathway between the sacrifice. This was a unilateral covenant that was God and God alone. It wasn't about what Abraham was going to do. It was about what God was going to do on the behalf of Abraham. So in other words, Abraham, it doesn't matter if you're imperfect. It doesn't matter if you mess this thing up. It doesn't matter if you somehow fall to the wayside. I am giving you my word that I am going to fulfill this in your life. And this is what is so awesome about being in covenant with God, is that God, I'm about to get excited at 9 o'clock in the morning. Whew, I'm not supposed to get geared up till later on. The Bible says in the Old Testament that God understands how our frame, how we are just dust. He knows how frail you are. He knows how inadequate we are. He knows that we couldn't keep our word if our lives depended on it. We make promises. Yeah, baby, I'll take you fishing. Yeah, son, I'll take you out to the golf course. Yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that. And we always fail to keep our word. How are we going to keep our word to an eternal God that will be perfect from now and forever? It ain't going to happen. And so God enters into a covenant with us. Thank God it's unilateral. He says, look, we're going to have a sacrifice. There's going to be a sacrifice on a cross in a few hundred years. That was after Abraham. And now we're looking back on it 2,000 years ago. And God says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Because you're broken, because you're sinful, because you can't keep the covenant, I'm going to keep God's part of the covenant. And I'm also going to keep man's part of the covenant. I'm going to make sure that this covenant lasts forever. You know, some of us only like religion if it's about us. You know what I mean? I want it to be about me. I want somebody to come up and pat me on the back because I prayed good. You put in 7 hours of prayer this week? Aren't you holy? I'm going to be honest with you. I know this is going to come as a real shock. But every once in a while, I sin. Your mama. People are already leaving. I know that's shocking. Pastor James, he rarely does he sin. But you see, even one would destroy the covenant. God says, there's no way. You can make promises, and we do it, man. I'm telling you, we give our life to the Lord. One of the first things we do after accepting the grace and the mercy of God is we start making promises. All right, God, now I'm going to show you I was worth saving. God, I'm going to really, those other times, man, I messed up. But this time, I'm going to be faithful to a small group. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be there at 9. I'm going to be there at 11. I'm going to be there at 4. I'm going to be at every small group Life Song has during the middle of the week. Man, I'm going to pray morning, noon, and night. I'm going to memorize the Bible. I mean, you start making these huge promises. And you fall into the trap of thinking that you are accepted because you obey. You forget the ABCs. You forget that you can only be accepted if you believe. Now, this is what I'm trying to say, and I'm done. This is what I'm trying to say. But this is God's intention for your life. I know this takes the pressure off of us. And some people, man, they'll run for the hills when they hear this because they're afraid that what we're saying is, oh, you don't think we have to do anything? Wait a minute now. My Bible says we have to do this, 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 and this. That's fine. We want to obey the words of the Lord. But if you build this house on the wrong foundation, it's going to come down. And I like what Pastor James says. Pastor James says, we don't work for the favor of God. We work from the favor of God. The favor of God is already upon your life. Therefore, we follow the words of God. The blessing of God is already upon your life. Therefore, you walk in faith and you obey. You're in covenant with Him. This is why you do these things. But I have talked to people. I have ministered to people. I have dealt with people who literally are working their brains out with spiritual activities And they're under guilt, and they're under condemnation, and they're feeling, you know, I'm so imperfect that I'm never going to do enough. And God says, come on, let's get the fundamentals back again. Let's get back to the basics one more time. Okay, you ready for this? I got to end it this way, okay? Peter is speaking in the household of Cornelius. And he says, you know what, guys? The light just came on. I just realized that you guys, as simple as your faith is, as primitive as your faith is, God has declared that you are clean in His eyes. He preached the simplest message, like three verses Peter preaches. He says, Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And because of what Jesus did, repentance has been granted to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that while Peter was still preaching, all of a sudden the light came on in the mind of Cornelius and his wife and their children and the rest of the Romans that were in that house. All of a sudden, there was a merging together of the Word of God with the primitive faith in the hearts of those people. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God fell from heaven, and every one of those pagan, unclean, unworthy heathens was filled with the baptism of the Spirit, just like the Jews in Acts chapter 2. You see, the blessing of Abraham is this. What does that mean? Blessing, the blessing, the blessing. You're talking about the blessing. If you carefully read Galatians 3, you're going to find out that the blessing of Abraham is justification by faith. Justification by faith. That God would look at people who have primitive faith. I'm talking about faith so primitive, they don't hardly understand anything. So primitive. And that God would declare them to be righteous. Now here it is. Are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit. What's the title? Holy? Anybody in here today feel like you're holy? On your own, in your own strength, it's not going to happen. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. But God cannot put the Holy Spirit into an unholy temple. It can't happen. Righteousness does not coexist with darkness and sin. And the problem is that you and I have absolutely no way of making ourselves holy enough to deserve the infilling of the Spirit. And so God says, I'm going to take care of the divine part, and I'm going to take care of the human part. I'm going to take care of the whole thing. If you, as broken and as imperfect as you are, if you will put your faith in me, I will issue a divine declaration over your life. I will declare you to be holy, and you will be eligible to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his household, in a moment of divine merging between the Word and the Spirit and faith, all of a sudden realized we have been declared clean and righteous in God's eyes. And the moment they received it, the Spirit fell in their life. You can work for the Spirit your whole life and you'll never get it. But the moment you accept what God has done for you, it will open up your spirit and He will pour Himself out on you without measure. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you say, I am blessed? Would you say, I am accepted? Would you say, I am in covenant? Now, I realize that was out of order. That's BAC. So we need to get our foundation right. We need to get our formula right. Here we go. Everybody say, I am accepted. Say, I am blessed. Say, I am in covenant. Now, would you say this? It's not about me. Would you just raise your hands one time and thank God for what He's done? God, today we're entering into your story. This is all about you, Lord. This is all about everything that you have done for us. You have poured out blessing upon us when we didn't deserve it, and we worship you today. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, for you are worthy. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. I know we're running short on time, but I just want to do this real quick. If you are in this place, now I know there may be people here that want to receive the Spirit for the first time, but if you read the book of Acts, every person who received the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was also able to be refilled with it in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter, over and over again, the Spirit fell. Now this is what we want to do. This is not all about that, but if you're desiring to be filled or refilled with the Spirit again, just a fresh touch of God upon your life, we're going to open up this altar. But there's three things I want you to come specifically for. I want you to come so that you can put your faith in God, so that you can be accepted. I want you to come because God is getting ready to open up the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing. Everybody say blessing. A blessing that you cannot contain. And I want you to come because you're taking a symbolic step and you're saying, God, you did everything that was required for this covenant. And so I'm going to join together with you and accept what you've done so that I can enjoy the benefits of this covenant. If you're hungry for more of Him and you want the blessing of God, would you just come forward here real quick as we end this morning? Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, we ask you just to fall in this place, God, as people are putting their faith in you by stepping out this morning. I'm asking you, Father, just to move into this house. Look at the faith in the hearts of your people, God, as we come. And I'm asking, God, just pour out your Spirit in this place. Would you do it? Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing as they're coming. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that an awesome promise? Come on, if you want more of God. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. We're here to receive, Lord. Yes. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Do you remember that feeling? White as snow. Whoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to sing this again. This is what I want to do. This is going to be a little different for you. There are some days we talk about action steps, you know, things before you leave today. This is what you need to do. But today we're going to do this a little bit different. Sharice is going to sing this again. This time I want you to lift your hands to heaven when we do this. And when you lift your hands to heaven, I want you to concentrate. Don't concentrate on impressing God with your words. Don't concentrate on trying to hold your mouth right or show God that you're sincere by having your eyes closed and your head tilted just the right way. Right? Let's move away from religion for just a moment. Okay? What we're going to do is we're just going to lift our hands to heaven in a receiving kind of posture, spiritual posture. And as she sings, you can speak if you want to, but I want you just to see the windows of heaven opening up. This is what I want you to imagine. I want you to literally see a sill over heaven. And the blessings of God, like rain clouds, like water, like rivers pouring out in streams coming down on you. As your hands are open to receive it like a chalice, the presence of God, like water, is flowing over you. Would you do that? We're going to let God do what He wants to do right now as she sings. Just lift your hands to heaven and let's receive from the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Spirit fall. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not about me, Lord. It's not about what I can do. It's because you're good, God. It's because you're good. It's because you're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive from you right now, God. I receive your Spirit. I receive your blessing. I receive your acceptance, God. I'm not saying I deserve it because I don't. But I receive it because of your grace, because of your mercy, God. This is the greatest act of faith I have, to step away from working and to receive, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I receive, God, everything that you have for me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. How precious is the flow that makes me wide as snow. No other, no other found I know. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. It's what He did. Would you sing that? Would you sing it together? Come on. Oh, precious is that throne that makes me white as snow. Yes. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you just tell them that's nothing but your blood, Lord? What you did on the cross, God, that's the only reason I can stand here and receive today. Hallelujah. 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 I want to speak one last word, then I'm going to let you go. One last word. I feel this so strongly right now for so many of us. This is not just for one. This is for many of us, no matter where you're standing in this auditorium. God created the earth in 6 days and all that's in it. But on the seventh day, He rested from His labors. Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, one incredible book. Spend some time in it. But literally what it says, it commands believers, it says, labor to enter into His rest. He's not saying go out and work hard. He's saying it is hard work to stop working hard. You have, I'm speaking the word of the Lord right now. This is a strong word for many of you right here. It is time for you to stop trying to create the universe. You are wearing yourself out spiritually and physically and relationally. God says, accept what I have done and enter into my rest. Cease from your labors. Put your faith in me. And this is what's going to happen. Some of you are worried right now. You're thinking, wait a minute, if I cease from my labors, then maybe I'm not going to be doing what God wants me to do. No, what's going to happen is when you stop trying to do it on your own and you enter into His rest, He will empower you to do everything you've been trying to do on your own. Rest! Rest! One last time, one last receptive posture before the Lord this morning, hands lifted. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we declare that we are going to stop working so hard to do everything that You want to do in our lives. We declare that only You are able to do the things that need to be done to accomplish restoration and reconciliation and holiness in our lives. And so today, as unworthy as we are, we willingly, humbly accept the gift of God. In the name of Jesus.